Genesis chapter 28, one verse, verse 18. Genesis 28:18. I'm preaching tonight on the subject, the price of oil. Seems like the news cares about it. Some of you care about it. You'll drive all the way to Ashland to get gas 18 cents a gallon cheaper. A fellow told me the other day, he said, I drove to South Bloomfield to fill up. Blackie's laughing back there. He knows about this. People do care about the price of oil. We've heard so much about the price of oil the past few months especially. It hit record highs. And some records are good. We've seen, if you've been here the past year, we've seen record attendance. We've seen record offering now tonight. Isn't that great? Still looking for God to give us a record number of people being saved by the end of the year. And the Lord keeps blessing, and we're seeing folks saved almost every week. But yet, some records are not so good. When crude hit the record high, everyone moaned as to what we would do. But isn't it amazing? You're all still here. You're still alive. You're still breathing. You're still going. Just complaining a lot in the process. In verse 18 of Genesis 28, we have on record the first mention of the word oil in the Bible. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows. He set it up for a pillar, and he poured oil upon the top of it. Oil is mentioned here for the first time. It's mentioned a total of 202 times in your Bible, in 187 different verses. Jacob is fleeing from Esau, his brother. He has taken his birthright, his first night away from home. He uses a stone for a pillow. But in the middle of the night, he has a vision of a ladder that reaches into the throne room of God, into heaven, and angels ascending and descending on the ladder. When he awakened from that, he immediately wants to do something to commemorate the presence of the Lord, because he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I have not known it. Nothing worse than God being there and you not realizing He's there. It's a terrible thing to sit in a church service and God blessing all around you and not blessing you. It's one thing for everybody else to get blessed. And I don't mean to sound selfish, but I like it when the Lord blesses me. He said, surely the Lord's been in this place. So he wanted to praise God for His protection, for His power, for His provision. And he takes this stone, lays it up as a table or altar, and he pours the oil on it. Oil's always been an important part of our life. Oil powers our lights. Oil lubricates our automobiles. Oil's used for our food. Oil's used for cosmetics. Oil's used for medicine. And I could go on and on. Oil's been an active part of our life for a long time. But the way the Bible uses oil is used entirely different in the use of it in Scripture than what we know it today. The oil was used primarily for anointing, as was the case here. The anointing was anointing on people, places, and things in the Bible. But in particular, there's three things I call your attention to concerning the oil in the Bible tonight. First of all, the anointing of sheep. Oil was used for the sheep. Then the Bible teaches us oil is used for the sick. And finally, oil is used for the saints. For the sheep, it had some unusual purposes. In fact, they did the same thing not only to sheep, but they did it to camels. They would anoint their head with oil, coat their head with oil. One reason that they would do that is to prevent sunstrokes. It would keep the animal from getting a sunstroke, going through the desert and through the wilderness. Do you know sometimes life gets hot and life gets hard, and the only thing that keeps us from dying under the pressure and heat of life is the blessed oil of God. He anoints us with oil. No matter how hot that it gets, The Lord is there to protect us and reflect the heat from us that we can keep going. It not only protected them from sunstrokes, it also prohibited swarms of flies from coming on them. Summertime was fly time, and the flies would gather around them. Those flies would oftentimes lay their eggs in the nasal passages of the sheep, and the eggs, when they would become larvae, would crawl into the brain of the sheep, and the sheep would beat its head against a rock, thinking that it could kill out what was on the inside until its head would become bloody and bruised. But that shepherd in his kindness would take the oil and tilt the head of the sheep back and pour the oil down the nasal passages. And the oil would suffocate the larva and bring healing to the sheep. There's some things that'll get inside your head, and you'll feel like you're beating your head against a brick wall. But suddenly God calls you aside long enough to say, why do you worry? And why do you fret? Why are you so troubled about this? And He pours the blessed Holy Spirit down into us and the things inside that have gnawed at our mind and eaten away like a cancer to keep us awake in the darkness of night. Suddenly it's all banished and it's all gone. The Lord drives away the things that annoy by the power of the Holy Ghost. It was also used for scuffles. Two rams would meet and clash heads together to win the ewe. In the process, they would oftentimes injure themselves because they would drop their head down, run toward their opponent. They were territorial. They'd run toward their opponent as hard as they could and butt their heads together to try to claim something that they wanted. So the shepherd in kindness would take oil and grease, and he would grease the head of the rams. That way, when they would come in the mating season, and the rams would come together, and they would clash heads in a scuffle, they'd just bounce off one another. I am preaching to you tonight. Sometimes life comes, and all we do is fight one another. But when the blessed Holy Spirit comes, suddenly we understand that that person's really not my enemy at all. Do you know the Spirit of God will help you love people that you couldn't love before you knew the Lord? Do you know the Spirit of God will shed His love abroad in your heart, help you reach out in kindness and love to people that you never could love before? Have you ever noticed the people that you have the hardest time with, when the Holy Ghost shows up and the power of God comes, no longer do you want to fight one another. You want to love one another and work together for the cause of Christ. It troubles me in the church world today. Something is missing in this area. See, I'm old-fashioned in this. I believe we have to love one another. And you can't love one another if you don't know one another. Years ago in the church, you know how the church would exist and survive? Because of the love that existed in the people's heart. It wasn't uncommon as a boy, and even as a young preacher, it wasn't uncommon for me to travel all across the U.S. And when I'd travel into churches, people oftentimes, sometimes they didn't even know one another. They'd come together for worship, and somebody way over in this corner would get blessed. And they'd get up out of their seat to take a hallelujah holy walk all the way back around to this other side. And they'd just hug somebody and weep together and say, I love you. Oh, we need those days back in our lives again. It is a time where the church needs to come together and say, God, give me the love and power of the Holy Spirit in my life that'll help me love my enemy, that'll help me love my friend, help me love my family. I'm telling you, folks, if we ever needed anything, we need a real love of God in our heart that helps us when we come together. And even if we disagree, we just bounce off one another and go right on worshiping God. That's the kind of love we need. Scuffles are inevitable in life. You're going to butt heads with somebody sometime. The key to all of it is, don't hurt yourself in the process. And the only way you can come to a disagreement or a time where that you don't see eye to eye and come against one another, the only way you can come out of that without being injured or injuring somebody else is to make sure you're covered with the Holy Spirit. The oil was there for the sheep. The oil was there for the sick. Now this is real controversial. In our church, we anoint with oil. James chapter 5 teaches us what to do. The book of James is very explicit on it. Now I'm going to tell you, this is a real controversy today. I mean, I've been through Bible college, I've been through seminary, I know what I'm talking about. This is one of the most controversial subjects in Scripture. When someone says, I'm sick and I want the church to pray for me, and they come and they ask the church to pray, there's a procedure for that. First of all, the person is to ask. Is there any sick among you? Let them call the elders of the church. And when they call the elders of the church together, I mean, I'm glad you've got faith, but on this particular occasion, it works best if they call for the church, the elders, the leaders, the ordained officials of the church to come. And they'll pray for them, anointing them with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now here's the problem. Some people say, preacher, you're taking that literally. That's spiritual. I got into controversy one time and they said, the oil in the Bible in book of James was not the oil, it's the Spirit. Well, the oil is always symbolic of the Spirit. And you know, you always get Greek scholars. And they like to use Greek until it comes against them. And you know what? I looked that word up in the Greek. And guess what that word oil means in the Greek? Oil. Now, it's not the fact that there's healing power in this oil. It is a witness. It is the same principle as to why you're baptized. It is a demonstration of faith that's already inside of you. You are saved before you ever get to the baptismal place. You are saved before you ever go under the water. You're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But yet you do that as an act of faith. It is a witness to the world. When we are anointed, it is a witness to the world that we are trusting not in a bottle of oil, but we are trusting in the power of God to save us. We'll die without Him. Someone said, well, do you have healing services when people are moved by the power of God to come and pray? We pray for them. Do we take credit for the healing? Never. But you need to have every opportunity to pray. And I say it so many times, I know you get tired of hearing it, but you need to hear it. If you don't believe in divine healing, you don't believe that anointing works, your only problem is you haven't been sick enough yet. But when you reach the bottom of the barrel, and the doctors say, I've done all that I can do, I've seen it happen too many times where saints of God have come together, stood on the Word of God, and claimed the promises of God's Word. And I've seen God come not because of who they are, but because of who He is. And by His power divine, come down and raise up a sick person off of a bed of affliction. I'm telling you, it works. It works. It saves the sick. You say, now wait a minute. My uncle was anointed and he died. Well, if he was anointed, he must have been a Christian. Yes, he was a Christian. Well, let me ask you a question. When he died, do you think he was saved or lost? Didn't he save the sick? Absolutely. Sometimes God's doing a greater work that we don't understand, but I'll say this. I would never override the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And if I came and was anointed and nothing happened physically on the outside, I'd still get up every day of my life and praise God for my healing and thank God that I have the hope of heaven in my soul and believe God for all that He is and stand on the promises of His Word. I'm telling you, it works. It works. The sheep, the sick, and the saints. There's anointing for the saints. You don't believe there's anointing for the saints? Hey, John, Psalm 133. Stand up, give that to us, will you?
Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore.
Glory to God. The precious ointment. You know why it's precious? It's genuine. There were five ingredients to the anointing oil. The five ingredients that was used in the anointing oil was pure myrrh, sweet cinnamon, sweet calamus, cassia, and olive oil. A couple Sunday nights ago, I preached on the ministry of the church. There were apostles, there were prophets, there were evangelists, there were pastors, there were teachers. Five ingredients in the anointing oil. Five ingredients in the founding of the church. Think that's a coincidence? Not at all. Because God is genuine. I think people are looking for something that is real. You know, I spend my life eating fake things. I spend my life trying to fool my body that sugar-free piece of candy that big is the same as a Reese's cup. I can go for a long time, but every now and then, I just got to get a bite of something that's real. Sometimes candy will just rub it on her finger and lick my lips with it. Sometimes I'll make her take a bite and then give her a big kiss. But I just got to taste something that's real. You know something, folks? I hope that you don't think I'm crazy. But I don't see how these people sit in these dead churches week after week after week where God never shows up and nothing's ever out of the ordinary and nobody ever gets saved and nobody ever gets blessed. I'm telling you, every now and then I'm glad God comes in a way that we can't even imagine. And He's real and He's genuine. And when I leave, I can say, Lord, I couldn't have come up with that by myself. Only a great big God in heaven could do something that real and that sweet for us. Nobody but God can do the things that we want Him to do. And when God shows up and it's real, it makes an impact in our life. Oh, it's genuine. He said it was precious. And it flowed down His beard. Even to His feet. It was generous. Not just a little bit of oil. Oil enough to run. Started at His head. Came on down to His heart. Covered His hands. And went all the way to His heels. Boy, I tell you, old timers used to call it the fullness of the Holy Ghost. You call it whatever you want to, but I know one thing. When He fills me up, when God fills us, it makes a difference in our life. I'm not here to argue your doctrine. I'm not here to argue what you call it and what you want to call it and don't want to call it. I'm here to tell you, when you get filled with the power of God, you're never the same again. It'll affect your head. It'll affect your heart. It'll affect your hands. It'll affect your heels. It'll make you walk different, talk different, think different, act different. Only God can cause us to do the things that we do because He is generous in all that He does. all the way to the hills. Prodigal son come home. Father said, kill the fatted calf. Put a robe on him and a ring on him. Shoes on his feet. What a picture of the anointing. Covered his heart with a robe. Robe of righteousness. Put a ring on his hand. Shoes on his feet. Do you know why he put shoes on his feet? Do you know who didn't have shoes in biblical day? You know who didn't wear shoes? Slaves. Servants. He said, he's my son. He's not my slave. He'll get shoes and put on his feet. See, a slave can't run very far in the desert barefooted. It was their way of keeping the slave confined. But when they put shoes on their feet, they could go wherever they wanted. And the Lord says He wants to anoint us with the power of the Holy Ghost, that we'll not only think right, and we'll not only do right, we'll not only love right, we'll not only act right, but we'll walk right. And that's what He's concerned about, feeling us. He's generous with His feeling. David said, Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Every home in the Middle East had a cruse of oil. When a visitor would come, first thing that they would do, they would wash the visitor's feet. Because their feet, the shoes were sandals, and their feet were tired and hot and dusty. And they'd feel refreshed after that, but then they didn't stop there. They'd go get that cruse of oil, take the oil and anoint their head. The oil was like a sweet perfume. All through the feast and all through the meal, they could smell the fragrance of the perfume. The longer they went, it didn't leave. Now, ordinary everyday people, they weren't anointed. Only special guests were anointed. That said, you're our honored guest. Now you think about that for just a minute, would you? It's one thing to say how good God is to us and how great that God is. But for God to say to us, you're so special that I'm going to anoint you with the most precious gift that you could ever be anointed with, the power of the Holy Spirit. That's phenomenal, isn't it? For Him to say, you're special to me. I love you so much. I'm not only going to do that, but I'm going to pay the price for the oil. See, the owner of the house had to buy the oil. Have you ever thought about the price of the oil? Jesus talked about leaving and going away, and He looked to His disciples. He said, I'm leaving. They begin to beg Him, plead with Him. Don't leave us. Where are you going? Finally, He said, you don't understand. He'd already told them about heaven. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. But where I am, there you may be also. You would have thought that would have comforted Him right there. He wouldn't have had to say anything else. That was John 14. John 16, they're still troubled. The hope of heaven, they believe that. They believe if He was going away, He was coming again. But what were we going to do until You get back? How are we going to make it until You come back for us, Lord? And finally, He set them down and said, if I go away, the Comforter will come. If I depart not, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I'll pray to the Father, and He'll send the Comforter unto you. See, the thing you don't understand, if you're trying to make it without God, you're trying to figure out, well, heaven is all right, but how am I going to get from here to heaven? The truth of the matter is, you don't. He does. He comes into you, guides your every step. He's with you every step of life. Every journey that you make, the Lord is with you. He's guiding your path. He has His hand upon you. He's the one in control. He knows the way. He said, I've gone away. I've prayed to the Father. The price I paid, Jesus said, I gave my life. It's time we talk about how high a barrel of oil is. Maybe you better stop to think how much the Lord paid to give us the Spirit. Quite a price. Quite a price. The beauty of all this is, if we are sensitive to Him, if we let Him guide us, all that heaven has and knows is ours. He can do things that we can't even think of. I mean, you have to look around tonight where you're at. Some of you don't realize where you're sitting. You're sitting in the middle of a miracle. You're sitting on the pew with miracles on every pew. Every pew, you go through these pews, you'll find people. Some of them were alcoholics. They were drug addicts. Their home was divided. Some were nearly 80 years of age when they were converted. Some have come from rough walks of life. Different. Well, how does the Lord do that? The power of the Holy Spirit. If we do anything over the next few weeks, I really mean this. I hope that we as a church collectively will pray, Lord, let Your power come into our services and into our life like we have never experienced Your fullness before. We crave it. He'll give it. There's a price He paid just to anoint us. He wants to anoint you. He wants to help you. Why don't you come to Him?